Welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday, the first day of December. It is hard to believe this year is almost gone. We are always looking for places and spaces to retreat to, and they're not easy to find sometimes, especially if you live in a big city. Maybe you want to create that kind of space in your home, in your backyard, in a space that you found. Well, we have a couple of folks in town. They have a shop called The Sacred Space, and it's more than just a shop, and we're going to talk about their travels as well.
Walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And when you are looking for that special place, I remember years ago thinking, I know there's this place, this that no one can find. No one knows where it is. If I could just find it, get away from it all just for a little while. And I realized that if I could find it, then so could everybody else. So I had to create my own. And we're in studio with Jack and Rose Hershorn, and they are the proprietors of The Sacred Space in Summerlin, California. And it's great to have you on the programs. Jack, if you go ahead and move into your microphone a little closer there. And it's great to have you in studio.
Oh, we're so really glad to be here and be on your show.
And Rose, I'm glad you joined your husband. The two of you own and operate The Sacred Space, which has an incredible ocean view. My wife, Amrita, and I have been there, and it's just incredible. You can almost forget that the freeway is right in front of it because the ocean is just so beautiful.
Thank you so much. It is a great spot on the planet, I must say.
And how long have you been operating The Sacred Space?
The concept started about 8 years ago when we sold our business, which is Jack's Famous Bagels here locally, and we decided to travel around the world with our kids because it was a good break in our lives. And as we traveled, we saw how they were living in other cultures, especially Bali, where Every home has its own temple, and the houses are decked out in a very, very sacred way, and people can find themselves at home, really their own sacred space within themselves and their surroundings, and that's how our business started.
Well, I know that moving to Santa Barbara for us was difficult, leaving the home we had created. Numerous little areas, greenhouse and off to either side were some wonderful little spaces that we had developed and created and cultivated. And it was so hard. If we could have brought the home with us, we would have. And we figured, well, but if we can create it there, we can create it here. And that's where you folks come in a manner of speaking, because we're all looking for that little spot in our home. Or if you can find that quiet little spot along the beach somewhere and just listen to the surf come in and meditate or muse about what it is that you want to do or where you want to go, what you want to be when you grow up, so to speak. Everybody's trying to find that kind of space. And in essence, that's kind of what you folks have created, even within the sacred space there in Summerlin on Lily Avenue.
Well, what happened was, we saw the key elements of the homes in Bali, and we were able to make contact with the people who were building the structures, mm-hmm. and we ended up buying some and putting them in a container and buying temple pieces and saying, we live on an acre. Let's build a sacred space at home. Mm-hmm. Let's build a place that we can find ourselves on our own property. And exactly as in your home, you had a very special spot. We imported one.
Which is nice to do.
And I think the sacred space begins with what's inside of us, mm-hmm. and that all the pieces that we gather, whether it be a seashell or a Tibetan cabinet, are reminders of where we are in our own spiritual journey and reflections of that.
Well, we're going to get into more of that in the program as well, mm-hmm. and talk about what we experience in that place that we create. But we'll discuss a little bit about your travels. Obviously, Bali is one of the many places that you've been to. You actually have a trip coming up in the spring of 2008. Is this are most of your trips around the world off to these far off places a mixture of vacation and work and pleasure? Or do you ever just take trips just to go?
I would term it a age-appropriate business.
Okay.
I'm in my 60s, and my wife is in her 50s, and we have a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old children. And we like travel, and we like to see how people are developing spiritually in foreign countries, what they do for their journey after this planet.
Okay.
And we search out the items that make them feel whole within themselves. So if it's travel, you could deem it travel, but it's really a personal search, and we try to bring back these artifacts.
The way you describe it, it's as though you are on the personal search, but it's personal for you, but it's a personal search for those things that will help to accentuate someone else's sacred space as well. So it's almost a me and others kind of search. Because that's really what you come across. I mean, that's really where you're headed to. I mean, that's what all of the various things that you have there at the sacred space are for. It's for everyone else. Yet while they're there, you get to certainly enjoy them.
Well, I consider myself a spiritual student, always on a journey and a path. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting to meet other people on the same path at varying stages on that journey. You know, many people are much more connected and experienced and well-read and deeper, higher than us. But, you know, it's nice to share where each person is at.
Right. And, of course, it is also true that we are where we are at any given place on that, I like to deem it a ladder, that spiritual ladder, and there's always someone above us and someone below us.
That's a good way to put it.
And so that's just the natural order of things. I know that a lot of people, myself included, have often thought, why don't I meditate more? I mean, I don't meditate at all, and I should spend, you know, and I hear, oh, 3 minutes is, it'll get you started. And finding time to find those 3 minutes, and then I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything, and following through with all of these different things. I suppose that this radio program is for me sort of a meditation, because I end up getting lost in what we're doing and where we're going, and lost in a good way, that these programs, they go where they go. I have no control over them. This is a runaway train. We're on it, and it's going to go to a wonderful place nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have the two of you here. And again, if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guests are Jack and Rose Hershorn, and they are the proprietors of The Sacred Space. That's on Lily Avenue in Summerland, California, faces the ocean. That was one of the things that I had to get used to when I first visited here. My wife and I would come here on many trips. And that was the fact that the ocean faced the south, or that the beach faced the south. And I was always used to going to Los Angeles or to San Diego beaches, and it was facing the west. I mean, you were talking about the West Coast. Then I'm hearing all of the wonderful slogans about it's the South Coast and the Central Coast and all those different names. And I'm getting used to the idea of looking south into the Pacific instead of out to the west.
Well, you know, you said something really interesting, that you're always looking for a few moments to meditate. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're always saying, I don't have time for it. You know, the truth is that just having that thought mm-hmm. is sufficient. That puts you in a place of knowing that you are in the world. Okay, but you are also not off the world, of this world. Mm-hmm. You know that you are connected on a spiritual place, and that's what happens with a lot of the artifacts we bring back. You know, the images of Buddha or Bodhisattvas or other I would call them enlightened beings. Mm-hmm. When you surround yourself with these types of items, even though you are in your workday place, when you take a glance at one of these objects, it's a reminder of your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And that constant reminder is a very healthy thing.
Well, I know that it is said that when you're dealing with a problem within your life, the first best step is acknowledging that there is the problem, because now you're aware of it. So awareness is obviously the first step, and so that's good news for me that at least I'm beginning that process, and eventually I will find those 2 or 3 minutes to just spend and stop. And actually we do, because of the view that we have from our home up on the hill of the San Ynez Valley. It's just very peaceful, very quiet. Especially at 2 or 3 in the morning when there's nothing going on, you can still see the hills out to the north and the stars overhead. It's absolutely incredible. When you decided to create the sacred space, what was it that process of the world travel 8 years ago that said, you know, we need to build this and make this available for other people?
I have to be honest here. You know, my wife loves shopping. You know, she's just a fabulous, fabulous shopper, and she has really great taste.
Well, as does mine.
And, we started shopping in Bali, and we ended up filling a 40-foot container, and then we went to China, and we filled a 40-foot container. And we got a lot of stuff home, and we said, you know, we have to sell some of it. It was the end of the year that we got back, and I said, I'll do a postcard. I'll mail it. And we printed 2,000 postcards and sent them to all of Montecito. We live in Montecito. And oh my God, we had a Christmas sale, and we had hundreds and hundreds of people came to our house. And, we start thinking, you know, now this could be viable.
Mm-hmm.
We made a profit, and we got to keep a lot of beautiful items, and we were sort of drawn into it, and we ended up doing a Christmas sale. We ended up going every year on another trip, and we did 3 Christmas sales, and one of our neighbors got really mad with us and turned us into the county for running a business out of our house. And, we had, guys from the county down examining our house. I sort of felt like the Gestapo was coming in there. They're looking at our, in our garages. They're looking in our rooms. Are you running a business? And really, we didn't want to be hassled. And that's when we started looking for a commercial location to run a business from. The sacred space, it worked so well in our house, because we would serve tea to the people who came over, and we had ponds and gardens, and we said, why don't we just sort of try to duplicate what we have at home in a commercial setting? And that is how we got the feeling that we have in the business.
I have to say that when we first pulled into the parking lot and started looking at just the things in the front, and then we started walking through into the back, into the sides of the main structure, and it's almost like a river, but it's a pond, and then you have sitting areas and stones and little bridges walking over the pond area. It is really, as I said before, you can nearly forget, put out of your mind the fact that there is a roadway to the south,
It was important for Jack and I, initially when we bought the building, to create an experience for people, not just a retail store, quote-unquote, but an experience, and sort of altering, for me it was important to alter the face or begin that little seed of altering the face of retail. Jack and I wanted to provide a space for people to just come to, to walk, change their chi, get off the freeway, use the restroom, sit in the garden, have a cup of tea, and enjoy the space.
Surprisingly, I can say honestly that every single day there are a number of people who have some sort of experience in the shop.
Mm.
They say something to us. You've changed my energy. oh my God, this place should be a spiritual center. You know, all kinds of things like that every single day. So something happens there. What it is and why, I don't clearly know.
Yeah.
But it is an immersion experience.
Magical.
Yeah. Well, I have to let our listeners know that as you described what you did when during these sales, when people would come over to your home before you opened the commercial location, serving tea and so forth. Well, that's what we're doing here with this program. My wife has brought tea and little goodies that we can enjoy during the program. I also have our PR director sitting right behind me, and Chuck Chaplin is here, and we're all just enjoying getting together here on the program and talking about creating a sacred space. And the beautiful thing about it is that as you traveled and you filled one 40-foot container after another 40-foot container, and then, of course, had these sales and were able to keep certain things for yourself, there is no defined set of elements that is required for a sacred space save your imagination and your intuition. And I'm wondering how much of that plays into, again, you say Rose is a great shopper, as is my wife, impeccable taste, but how much, say, of that sixth sense or that intuition goes into acquiring certain things on your travels as opposed to other things that you, don't want those?
You know, every single thing we look at, we have to connect within our guts. You know, it's like judging a work of art. I would say the things we buy are functional art versus furniture or decorations. They have to have a bit of the artisan within the piece we buy, and we have to connect.
Right.
And created, you know, with hands by a human and touched by their soul. And there may be an item that there may be 20 of or 50 of, but Jack and I get down on our hands and knees in the dirt sometimes and look at each face, because it's the essence of the face that reflects the artist's carving and their connection to that stone and that piece. It's very powerful.
I know that in a lot of stores, a lot of shops throughout the country that sell similar items, they're made from molds, right, and all of this type of thing. And I'm thinking, that just doesn't, there's no soul to it, shall we say. And so when it's made from human hands, even if there, as you say, are 20 of them, no two are alike.
Right.
I mean, they may look very similar from a distance, but you get up on them close, and each one is different.
Right, and I believe that imprint of that soul comes into your home and in your space and in the energy of your grounds, and, you know, has an imprint on you and your family.
You know, a person who has turmoil within themselves would have a very difficult time doing a serene face on a bodhisattva.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we look for those serene faces. We know the person who did it was serene.
Because that's what comes out in the artistry.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what you can do, and you don't have to do a lot. And then there are those who have done enormous things to, whether it's the interior of their home, a corner or a whole room or the entire front and backyard of their property where they're living, to transform it. I think that because of our trips to Ireland, that we were working in Phoenix to transform our home into this little lot size area of Ireland, trying to make it as green as possible. And what we found was, not only did we enjoy it, but there was also a practical aspect of it too, because obviously living in the desert, everything's so hot, especially Phoenix, whereas our property, we noticed, I actually noticed, we saw, had a thermometer in both the front and the backyards, and the front yard had the roadway, the street in front of it. Front was 10 degrees hotter than the backyard, which had two giant trees and grass and shade. Makes a big difference from a practical standpoint, but it felt so good.
You know, you bring up a very interesting point. you know, once a person puts a pond and a stream into their garden here in Santa Barbara, where you know, we're semi-arid, we're sort of deserty type climate, you start creating a microclimate.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stream is running and the pond is there, the heat causes evaporation, and the evaporation, it changes the amount of moisture in the air, and different kinds of plants all of a sudden can grow in that area. Like we're doing tremendous with bananas and tropicals, and all of a sudden all kinds of things start showing up. Dragonflies come in. All kinds of birds start finding the area. Frogs appear. I mean, it's magical when you start creating this type of space at home, and it really connects us personally to the planet. You start having a deeper understanding of what an ecosystem is all about.
Yeah,
it's a magical experience, and I think it's an experience that I'm so thankful that I have found. And I'm doing, at this point, I would have really missed not doing it in this lifetime.
Me being a city boy growing up in Phoenix, Arizona, and coming to Santa Barbara and living up on a hill, I am now experiencing what you're talking about, because if I weren't here doing these programs and in broadcasting doing the things that I love doing, I would rather be up on the hill with my wife, working with our 27 chickens and dogs and cats, and working the land and just changing it in, shall we say, an eco-friendly way, in terms of making sure that, okay, the brush is cleared. I mean, we've even discussed the issue of renting goats or a herd of sheep to clear the brush out during fire season. You know, well, that's pretty non-destructive to the land, you know. I mean, we're not using it for farming. We're trying to preserve it so that it doesn't go up in flames if the fires should reach where we live. I mean, that's just one area. But I just absolutely love being up there on that piece of property and just doing the things that we do. And sometimes we don't do much and just sit around and have a glass of wine and enjoy.
Well, I you know, I've gone on your website and looked at the guests you're having on the show,
mm-hmm.
and I'm impressed with who, Richard, you're bringing on your show and the message you're putting forth. You know, just a personal evaluation, you know, living on the land and doing what you're doing, you want to share, I think you want to share that experience with people, and you're making a change on the planet. You're doing a very important show.
Well, thank you. My goal isn't to get everybody to recycle, you know, or use solar energy or anything of that nature. It's do what you are led to do, not what other people are telling you to do. This is one of the things that the paradox of my industry that I've been in for so many years. And I remember sharing this with someone and saying, you know, I went into this whole long diatribe about, you know, collecting stuff, you know, just for the sake mm-hmm. of collecting it, because it's out there or they're telling you to collect it, and not wanting to collect it, but being in the business of writing commercials to get people to collect more stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, there are ways of, shall we say, not collecting, but gathering those things that, as you, I'll use the word, resonate with you. That
or items of meaning.
Yes, items of meaning.
And you know, talking about stuff. Talking about stuff, you know. People are hoarders and people are collectors, mm-hmm. and we end up with a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, we end up with clothing that really doesn't fit our development stage that we're in life at this time. So, you know, it's good to pass that on to mm-hmm. somebody who's
in that
stage,
phase.
Is in the phase you were in.
Yeah.
You know,
or to experiment.
And also, yeah. You know, do we want our houses looking like Costco?
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with Costco.
No,
I love shopping at Costco. But, you know, we change. We want our, I want to be surrounded by more artifacts mm-hmm. and items of meaning.
I know that on our travels, my wife's and my travels, we have been given different things, and we have found different elements along the way that we've put into our home. A dear friend of ours who has passed, he left with us some unbelievable fossils and rock formations and all of these different things. And, you know, those things, of course, have meaning to us from a sentimental value, but also because they are beautiful, because there is a certain element of beauty to them that rings true with us. We will even go through areas. I mean, we've been to Sedona, Arizona many, many times, and sometimes we'll find certain things. So, hey, yeah, let's go ahead and get that. And then there are other times we'll go into Sedona and out again with nothing. You know, because there's just nothing there that rings to us at that point in time. And when you, let's go back to some of the places that you have been to. You've already mentioned Bali.
We've been to Bali, Thailand, China,
Nepal. And this year we're going to India.
We've been to Egypt. We've been to the Middle East, you know.
And I'd like to add that these are cultures that have had religious significance and items of meaning for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And, you know, I like learning as much as I can because spirituality doesn't, you know, have a date on it. It doesn't go out of style. It's a growing process, and it's fascinating.
I have been very fascinated, if I can go ahead and use that word again, by those that I have come across here in Santa Barbara, some who began their search about the same time I did, not necessarily the same year, but in terms of age, in their mid-late teens, you know. And it was real interesting because for me, I went to work in broadcasting in a religious radio station, would share this idea of searching, and they said, well, if you find Jesus, then you've found it. You don't need to search anymore. And I'm thinking, well, yes, but before him there was something, which leads me logically to think that after him there must be something. And even in him there is something. So we don't discount anything, but we just keep our minds and our hearts open to all of these different experiences.
You know, we had a very interesting trip where we went through Egypt, and we studied a little bit about the Egyptian religion, and then followed its trail to Israel and Jerusalem, and through the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and we went into Jesus's tomb. We've also been inside the King's Chamber, the Great Pyramid, and then followed that to Rome, and where the it's a very interesting trip going Egypt to Israel to Rome. You can follow Christianity and Judaism very well. It's a good basis for understanding our Judeo-Christian society.
I find it fascinating as well, in addition to that, about learning about some of the even earlier belief systems and going to some of those sacred spaces. We actually went in Ireland. There is they're not even sure exactly what these mounds were used for, but there's one called Newgrange in northeastern Ireland, north of Dublin. And we actually went inside this chamber that only on the winter solstice the sun will rise and the beams of light will go directly into the chamber. And the chamber, the passageway, I believe it goes down several meters. The sunlight will actually go all the way down and illuminate the interior of this chamber. Now, for me, it was extraordinary because of the sound in that chamber. Now, they will not allow you to take pictures or recordings of any kind. That was, if I found perfect acoustics, it was in that small chamber. The sound was just incredible, and the feeling in that room was unbelievable. But this is another one of those places. And then, of course, they have all these different stone circles, whether it's Stonehenge or even in Ireland, all over the island, there are different places where there are these circles. And there are theories as to what they were used for, whether it was for sacrifice or whatever the rituals were or whatever ceremonies. And then you move through all of the different cultures down through the centuries. And I find that rather fascinating to see the development of belief systems.
You know, see, we go back thousands of years and we have these artifacts of people in search of what we would call sacred spaces.
Yeah, the same thing. It's, you come full circle, as it were. If you've just joined us, I'm Richard Dugan. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. We are being visited today by Jack and Rose Hirshhorn. They are the proprietors of The Sacred Space, and it's on Lily Avenue in Summerlin. The exact address, of course, is it's 2594 Lily Avenue, and it's just off the 101. And we encourage you to stop by if you are looking for artifacts and different things. I have a catalog I'm looking at right now, and just some of the pictures of the areas where many of these are located, the various artifacts, the statues and the stairways that go up and down throughout the pond area and the different structures are just incredible. The vases, it's a remarkable place that you have set up there. Buddha, Kuan Yin, deities they have available as well. I mean, quite literally, the list goes on, and you're obviously going to be adding to that on your return trip from India coming up in the spring of 2008. What has been the most remarkable thing or experience that you've had on these sojourns, if you will?
Well, personally, I was affected being inside the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid, knowing that Napoleon and various other very famous people had to have stood in this exact same spot. And, you know, this is actually a picture inside the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Also, we were in Jesus' tomb,
mm-hmm.
in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and they have a priest in there giving you holy water. That was a changing experience.
Mm.
Being in various temples in Nepal, in Thailand, in China, each one of them is a remarkably memorable experience. And they just keep us going in that direction.
It's hard to single any one experience out because they all just kind of blend one into the next and enhance your life and your experience.
Well, they just keep reminding me to keep looking in.
And in addition to that, I'd like to add the human qualities of the experiences that we've experienced,
mm-hmm.
in that, you know, mainly a lot of the Buddhist countries, they have nothing. You know, just a small structure, thatched in many cases. And the families and the people are so happy and loving and kind and compassionate. And, you know, you come back to the Western world and you see that turmoil in a lot of people. And so, you know, is it spirituality? Is that what it is that makes the difference, you know, in one's happiness, you know, or growth? So, for me, it's like a connecting with little couples, little vendors that bring things from their villages into towns. And we really go out to a lot of outlying areas and connecting with them. We can't speak the language. There is total trust with the people, in terms of money or whether we'll even get the goods. So you see this broad worldly understanding and trust that is so lovely for me to look into someone's eyes and know as a mother or a woman and in that society that, you know, I'm on their page.
I would term it rich in spirit and happiness, but poor in materialism.
And that isn't necessarily a bad thing. As far as the being poor in materialism.
I think it puts them into a more of in the now space.
Yeah.
They're very present compared to us thinking, most of our thoughts are going, well, next month's bills, I want to go on this vacation. I want to do this then. You know, we're always looking to the future and we're thinking about past experiences. But it's tough for us in somehow or other in this society to focus on the now.
Well, I'm encouraged by what you said earlier about the fact that the first step is the awareness of whatever the issue is, whether it's not enough time to meditate. And in that thought is a brief meditation, if you will. So I think, okay, I'm still doing those things. And it's like, boy, I wish I was more enlightened so I wasn't focused on the future or the past. And I was just in the here and the now. And these programs do tend to help to refocus me on the moment. It's very difficult to think about other things. In terms of the future and whatever issues I was thinking about before the program starts or after the program's over. It's very difficult to do that and carry on a conversation with anybody.
Well, maybe when you replace that thought, I wish I could meditate more, or I wish I could meditate with a mantra or a holy saying, and just repeat that at that moment, and that'll put you even more into the now.
I know too that we're sort of studying in the current vernacular it would be the law of attraction, you know, and really trying to put those elements into practice and seeing how our lives are changing and transforming. And there are some weeks when there's a lot going on and we're just moving all over the place, and then there are other weeks when we're just very still. We go to our 9-to-5ers and then we go home and we relax, and it's wonderful being up on the hill. And just taking it, you know, each day and each week and each month as it comes, and not really being concerned with the future, because the future is going to take care of itself, as we're often told. And again, that whole principle of jumping and trusting when you're on the edge of a cliff, you hurl yourself off and know that it's going to be okay. And not in a literal sense, mind you, but in a very much in a spiritual sense, that you just, that's really where it comes down to, is that trust.
Well, I very much believe in the law of attraction. You know, it seems to me like the only force in the universe really is gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the law of attraction. And it's like in The Secret, once you start thinking about something, it comes to you.
Yeah.
So as long as you're thinking, it's coming to you.
Well, and this is the other thing. This is where people can become mind readers, because what's around you, they say, oh, I know what you've been thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a remarkable thing. It really is. I just absolutely thoroughly enjoy these programs and bringing the various guests to you, the listener. And we would love for you to, if you'd like to give us a call, we certainly will take a call from you at 879-5478, 879-5478. If you'd like to ask Jack or Rose Hirshhorn a question about their sacred space, whether it be the physical commercial location or whether it be, how do I start? Where do I begin? You know, how many post holes do I have to dig and walls do I have to put up? And the question might be put out and the answer might be none. Because again, as you said, Jack, earlier, it's what's inside that's going to bring out the creative aspects of creating that sacred space for yourself. I'm amazed at how well, I mean, it's just incredible to me how my wife has, takes small little spaces in the house and just turns them inside out into this beautiful little place. I sometimes have to remind her, is it cat safe? Meaning, not is it safe for the cats, is it safe from the cats? Or when we were building structures outside, different areas outside in our home in Phoenix, is it dog safe? Will the dogs get into it? I remember when we were first getting the greenhouse all squared away and beginning, before we put the fencing up, we bought these rose bushes. And all we put up was this, almost like chicken wire, chain link. And my first thought was, I know Chemo's gonna get into those. He was one of our Siberians. And he did, because that's what he loves, eating the flowers. Well, the roses actually flourished. Oh, teacup roses, I think it was. Little teacup rose vine. And, so that's where I sometimes go. She's the creative force. And I'm the muscles. Okay, so what is it that you want? You want that rock moved where?
It's so sweet.
You're a great husband.
It's so sweet to hear you speak of your wife so warmly. It's
so sweet. She has helped to create the sacred space in which we live. I mean, we both obviously are part of that process. She has some incredible ideas. We even work to try to create those same kinds of spaces for our animals, whether it's the dogs in the run that we've created outside, or, I mean, then they have two massive trees inside this 80 or 90 foot in circumference run that we've created. The chicken coop and the chicken run that we've extended three times already. Because our brood gets larger and larger. We try to do the same kinds of things. And they have incredible canopy overhead of trees. I marvel at those kinds of things.
Isn't it amazing how our pets are present? You know, they're very present little beings.
Oh, very, yeah, mindful.
You know, they're right there, right then. That's what counts.
Oh, yeah. We have a new addition, a new kitten who is definitely that. If she's not flailing around, and I'm not sure what it is she's playing with because she doesn't have anything, on the bed, she is curled up around one of our necks, sleeping and purring, or laying between us, purring. It is, as you say, it is an amazing experience. I never thought I would have a dog, let alone all of the animals that we do have, but I don't think I would change a darn thing. It's really incredible. It really is. Getting back to sacred spaces, the materials that you've used to create this place there on Summerland, in Summerland, off of Lily Avenue, there facing the ocean, they are all from all over the world, but you also got into the plants, because that's something I wanted to get into too. You created this micro ecosystem. Do you deal in the plants as well, or is that something that sort of naturally was an outgrowth, no pun intended, of the things that you were bringing in, the artifacts and so forth?
Well, we try to make it really easy for our clients. You know, if somebody wants to do a sacred space, we are connected with what we feel are the best growers in the Santa Barbara area. And we know who has good bamboo, and we know who has good banana plants, and we know who has good tropical plants. And we pretty much have a feel for where they're going to do well at this point. We have 8 years' experience with these types of plants. We get the plants for people.
So the whole area can be created. I mean, whether it's just a small little gazebo or... Now, you have something that's out in front of your establishment. I don't know if it's still there now. It was there when we were there. This large structure. It's enormous. I'm not sure that if I can find... Can you...
The temple.
The temple, yes.
Yeah, it's about a 140-year-old Thai temple that... graces our parking lot. But Richard, in addition to what you were saying, and Jack, we import pavilions from Indonesia, which are really lovely in themselves. And Jack does this fantastic thing where if someone's interested, he goes to their home and takes a picture of them in their garden and then drops it in, photoshops it in with some plants and some landscaping, and has that service for him as well. So,
I, without getting off on a tangent too far, I love working with Photoshop. That is one of the funnest programs I have ever, next to my audio program. It's great. That is something that is, to me, is that intuitive on your part? Is that training?
Just Photoshop?
No. I'm talking now about taking that photograph and then putting the various elements in to help them to create their sacred space.
Well, we're not trained landscape architects or designers, and we invented our own style. And the way we did it was we did it with digital photographs and then getting architectural elements and dropping them in Photoshop to design what we wanted. Then we have our workers work from our Photoshop images to build what we've designed. And it changes on a daily basis because we're on the job and they run into something in the ground. We got to redesign it. So I'm back in Photoshop doing something else. But that's the type of design we do. It's a, I would call it, free form design.
Yeah. I know that many of the different structures that we've seen on our trip to Ireland, especially the stone fences, and of course, her Marita's told me that her father, heritage from Ireland, also could stack stones. There's no mortar. There's no. They just stacked, and the fences stay up. You know, which is, to me, that is an incredible art and skill. But that, to me, is also sort of a natural outgrowth. If you have a lot of rocks and things like that around your property, to be able to move them about and stack them and those types of things, and create virtually just about anything that you want out of what you have in your yard, or add to it, enhance it. With whether it's plants or other artifacts or these temples and so forth. I'm going to guess that this, you said it was 100 and...
About 140 years old is what we've been told.
It's teak.
I'm guessing that this is a permanent fixture, that it's not necessarily something that's...
Right.
Yeah.
It's really not replaceable. It isn't something we can sell and find another one.
Right.
We had to negotiate a couple of years to get it from the person who had it.
Oh, wow.
And then Balinese structures in the backyard. Sacred spaces.
Those we build regularly.
Those are beautiful. I loved going back into the back and sitting inside one of those in front of the pond. And actually, you have almost a babbling brook of sorts back there. It's like you say, you know, you can go there and you can lose yourself.
And we like people doing that. We have a lot of people who just stop by and bring their bag lunch and have lunch and visit with us.
That's a wonderful thing. It really is. And even as we were there, there were people who came in and we could even feel there was even their energy as they were just entering the sacred space, that they were drawn there. You could just kind of sense that they were looking for something, or at least looking for a respite for just a few moments as they headed on down the highway again. And that's a wonderful rest stop.
Well, I hope everyone who's at the sacred space now hears us. I hope you're having a great time. I have our radio on there.
Well, wonderful. Well, a shout out to the sacred space there in Summerlin, and we certainly encourage you, if you're looking for that respite, that little rest stop, why not stop by? I mean, and say hello to Jack and Rose.
Yeah, check us out.
They'd love to say hello to you and let them know that you heard them on the radio program. We certainly encourage you to give us a call. Have you created a sacred space in your home? And what is it? What does it consist of? And does it make you, is it perfect yet? Are you still fine-tuning it? Or is it exactly the way that you want it and you can go there anytime and just get away and enjoy yourself? Well, why not share that with us? We'd love to hear your stories about your sacred spaces. 879-5478. 879-5478. As we get close to, we still have about 10 minutes in our program yet, so we certainly can take a phone call from you. 879-5478. Tell me your story is the name of the program. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Actually, I'm one of the riders on this train that goes where it chooses to go, and that's basically what happened many years ago when I first started doing these programs. I was asked many times about doing interviews and providing questions, and I can't provide questions because I don't know what I'm going to ask. Jack, tell us a little bit more about the shop and specific information about how to get there and how to contact you.
If you're coming from the north, get off at exit 91, which will be Summerlin, and take the road that runs alongside the freeway going south on the mountainside of the freeway. We're the very last business on Lily Avenue, 2594 Lily. If you're coming from the south, get off at exit 90 and also go on the mountainside road that runs alongside the freeway. And we're the very first business. Our number is 565-5535.
There you go. Well, write that down. We'll have that. We also have a link on the website, richarddugan.com, to your website, so people can get that and information and other things. We have Laura on the line, and she has, Laura, I would say it sounds to me like you have a very simple place to meditate, but I like it. Tell us about your sacred space.
Oh, hi. I'm Laura.
Yes, Laura.
And I have a lemon tree in my patio, and a bench, and I like to meditate under it. And right now I'm growing strawberries and snow peas. This is very spiritual for me to grow something that I love to eat. Even though I don't grow in abundance, it's kind of just the beauty of seeing things grow.
And that's,
as well as
that's part of what Sacred Space is about, isn't it?
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we certainly. Go ahead.
Is there a store on the north or the south side of the road? There's a road that's adjacent to 101. I don't know the name of it, and I'm pretty sure they're off of that road in Summerlin. I'm assuming there's a road north of the freeway, but is there a store on the north of that road, or
we're on the north?
Do you know what I mean?
On the north.
You're on the north.
We're the very first business if you're coming from Padaro Lane, say.
So there, you have Buddhist statues in the front?
Yes, we do.
Amazing. Okay, I know where you are. I'll come visit you. I'll bring my bag of lunch.
Good. And I like the sound of your space. It sounds really good.
It's been a great blessing to see, you know, the lemon, to sit under my lemon tree.
Mm.
I don't use any poison. You know, it's all natural. It's whatever happens, it happens there.
Well, there you go. That's the way it happens out in nature anyway. Whatever happens, happens. Well, Laura, thank you so much for calling, and please keep listening. And when you stop in and see Jack and Rose, tell them that you heard them on the program.
I will.
All right, Laura. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And it's that easy. You can give us a call at 879-5478, 879-5478. We'd love to hear from you. And we still have a few moments left here in the program. I have to say that many people would say that as a town or city, because I'm not sure which category Santa Barbara itself falls under, is a sacred space in and of itself, in its entirety. And I know that when we moved here, or I should say when we visited here the first time, which was almost 10 years ago, we were driving just after sunrise by the mission. I think it was just past the Rose Garden. And I said, because we'd been talking about moving, and I said, anytime you're ready. Took us 8 years to get here, but we finally did. I told her, I said, I'll get you back to your hometown eventually, and we finally did. And I wanted to move to the ocean. For me, if it's not the hill, it is the ocean. To me, that is a sacred space, a place. And I know a lot of people are drawn to that. And I've also learned some real interesting lessons about truly appreciating other people's visions of sacred spaces. I wanted to get out of the desert. I had personally had enough of the heat, but there are people who want to move there. And I used to be rather cynical about that. Oh, fine. Okay, sure. You want to move to the desert? You go right ahead. But then I began to realize that if that's where they are truly drawn to, then they need to go there. And that everybody's vision and dream of a sacred space is different. And it's as different as all of the different places that you folks are visiting. And I just think it's remarkable what you've created out there.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting. You know, the whole Judeo-Christian religions came out of the desert.
This is
and
true.
They wandered in the desert. Maybe they needed to be in the desert to go in. There's nothing on the outside.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And I think it's great that you made the jump to move, because a lot of people get stuck and they stay cemented in, and you guys made the leap of faith.
Well, I think that one thing that there were two things that juxtaposing at the time anyway, and one was that we were both working full time, and you know, and we didn't want to leave because those jobs were there. But after we lost our jobs, we realized that, you know, we didn't have to wait. We could have gone any time. But there's the other aspect of it is timing, the right time to make that transition. And under other circumstances, maybe a year or two prior to those events happening, losing our jobs, we both probably would have been freaking out. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Oh, no. I couldn't believe how calm I was, how relaxed I was, how I don't care, you know, whatever, you know, it's, you know, and that's just what we did. We just trusted, and away we went.
So great.
And our circus, our caravan, our menagerie traveled across the desert for 12 hours to this sacred space and to a place which, rather interestingly, we didn't really see the space until we got there. We'd been told about it. We were emailed some pictures of it. But we really didn't know what we were getting into. And it was really remarkable when we woke up that morning and we saw the view of the valley, the San Ynez Valley, with the fog just hovering just below the mountain line. And you remember I said to you after looking at that, I'm going, and we're paying that for this? Are you kidding? It's not enough. You know, it was incredible. It's a $1 million view. It really is. Some people do have the beach view, the ocean view, and that's great with the Channel Islands.
And look at all the things you're attracting to yourself. Really, the right things are coming your way.
We're having a lot of fun. We are, and that therein lies the biggest key of all, is having fun with it all, you know, and just enjoying it. And we are indeed doing that. Again, I want to thank you and your wife, Rose, Jack, for joining us here on the program and for sharing this hour with us. I want to let our listeners know that this program, if you missed any part of it, is available up on the website. Probably about 10 minutes after the show's over, I'll have it up there on the website, and you'll be able to listen to it again. And want to encourage people to go out to your location. Give us the address one more time there on Lily Avenue.
We're 2594 Lily Avenue in Summerland.
And the best exit, coming from Santa Barbara?
Exit 91. It says Summerland exit. If you're coming from the south, it's exit 90, Summerland exit.
By the way, that's another thing I've had to get used to, is the whole aspect of going north and south on a highway that's going east and west. I understand it now, but back then it's like, no, it's east and west. And I was going to try to change it, and it's like, no, just go along. It'll be okay. And we thank you again for joining us. And I want to tell our listeners again that the program is going to be available up on the website shortly. I want to let you know about our next week's program. We're going to talk more about spirituality and maybe utilizing your sacred space to its fullest extent by spending some time focusing on what is important to you. We're going to be talking with a gentleman who has written a book called The American Buddha. And we will be talking about spirituality, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing just that. And we encourage you to join us next Saturday at 11 o'clock here on Progressive Talk 1340 KIST for Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I do want to thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on this ride, and we're going to continue traveling next week as we talk with the American Buddha here on this program, Tell Me Your Story, and we certainly encourage you to join us. Go to the website, richarddugan.com, for more information, and also you can email me at richard@richarddugan.com. Love to Lal. Have a great day. Bye-bye.